Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Tonight we're going to see who has Southern manners, because we got a bathroom etiquette contest we're going to be running. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right, it's Hump Day. Oh, I know it's Thursday. I'll tell you what I mean here in a minute. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me tonight is the chairman of the board, Michael McBath, wearing pink. As only he can wear it.
As we said, only real men. Men. So the other group understands. Can wear pink.
I was going to say, is that...
Please don't. I'm not, you know.
Is that
I'm not drifting left either.
You're in the right bathroom.
I wonder if that was somehow had to do with our contest tonight.
That might look a little
tonight.
Bad. I don't know.
You're in the right bathroom.
Okay. All right. And we also have Rick Brown is in the studio with us.
Good evening, sir. How are you today?
Doing excellent.
Fantastic.
How about you? Good,
well,
good, good.
Well.
Yep. And, of course, you folks can join us as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. And, of course, it is Thursday contest night around here, these parts. So I hope you've been doing your homework and you are ready for tonight's contest. Mike, why don't you give us the rules?
Well, I think everybody might agree with this. We just had, 11 states file suit against the government on our little transgender bathroom situation, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we all know this is just a common sense situation that only our government and our king, Emperor Barack Obama, could cause the problems he does. Now, what we would like you to do, because we're all people of common sense, imagine, for example, you were a woman in the woman's room, and I call him a phony transgender comes in. That's one who hasn't had the plumbing, but he feels that way. You know what I mean? I feel that way, right?
Oh.
Well, when he comes walking in and you're in there with your daughter, I would like to know how you're going to express to him how you feel. And you could also do the reverse on the men's side. You know, a strange-looking one comes in on the men's side, and you're with your little boy, and he says or she says, I feel this way. Well, we'd like to know how you feel this way, because I think you have feelings besides the Obama group. So it'll be a lot of fun. Let's get the expression out there, because we saw a video, right, Chris, the other day with, oh, my God, that these women blast these people out of the bathrooms. It was one of the funniest things I ever saw. So we would like to know what your feelings are.
And yours is?
Oh, geez, mine. You know, I sit there, and it's a case that, I look at these transgenders. And, I'm going to hold that one back.
All right, okay.
Let me hold that
all
one
right,
back, because I want to see if somebody jumps. I want to see what they throw into the pool.
We call it our Proper Tranny Bathroom Etiquette Contest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and no potty mouth now, right? Let's keep it clean.
Yeah, we came close last week to a couple. They were walking the edge. That was pretty funny.
We don't want Nick to have to bruise his thumb in there pushing the button, so it's a Proper Tranny Bathroom Etiquette Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And mine would be, now, if it's, like I said, if this is a woman and she's in there with her daughter and in walks Bruce, there's that old saying, how does it go? Use it or lose it, I think it is. That's what she would say. Use that and you lose that, right?
That's pretty good, Chris. I like that.
If you use that, you're going to lose it. All right. So
I flip that around. If I was in the men's room with my little son and one of those came in,
yeah.
One of those.
I think I'd look at my son very quietly and say, wait outside for daddy. and watch their eyes light up.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's the point. I think they get the message real clear. And so imagine if you're in the ladies' room as a woman with your daughter and, you know, one of these people have that type of feeling. Comes walking in, what will be your response? And don't hold back, because right. I think our president needs to know the public's true feelings.
Just keep it clean. Just keep it clean, right? This is bathroom etiquette.
I did notice a state missing from those 11 states.
Which one? Ours? Yeah. Rick Scott, where are you?
Yeah, no kidding. I sent him an email today. I wonder if somebody who knows something can call up and tell us why we're lollygagging on this important issue.
Well, he's probably down in Key West.
Well, no, that would probably be Pam
Bondi. I'll see him shortly.
That'd be Pam Bondi's doing too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she needs to get on the stick. By the way, her name has been bandied about as a possible VP. For the big T.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. All right. By the way, we're going to get to Hump Day here in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Most of you probably already know what I'm referring to. But first of all, for many of you folks out there, tomorrow will be the official beginning of Memorial Day weekend. Some of the rest of us have to work through Friday and maybe even Saturday. But nonetheless, it is Memorial Day weekend, and it's the traditional kickoff to summer. But, of course, more importantly, it gives us an opportunity to remember those brave Americans, men and women of all races who have died to protect our nation and all of us. And, Mike, you were just at the World War II Museum.
Right, which, I mean, once you see that, I mean, the emotion it brings out on you. And
who runs it? I mean, who works the museum?
Actually, the museum is actually run by volunteers from all different wars, meaning the Vietnam War, the Korean War, you know, the Iraq situation, Afghanistan.
Probably got a few
and
World
there was,
War II
I think
guys
there was a
around.
Couple World War II guys. One guy I talked to, he looked like he was from World War II, but I will say the place was absolutely jam-packed, which thrilled me. And but the event itself, and I think the one thing that sticks in my mind is they have a one-hour show on like a it's 4D, not 3D, 4D. And, I mean, they go through the history of the war from 39 on, and, like, the one thing that I won't forget is they show the B-17 bombers coming over from England to, you know, flatten Germany, but how, you know, one out of every three of these bomber pilots died. And you, while they're showing it, like, the real front of a plane comes down, attaches to the screen, and then you see all these, you know, fighters coming in, German fighters shooting at it and everything. And your chair you're sitting in is shaking and everything and rattling.
Like you're in the aircraft.
Yeah. And then another scene they had in the Ardennes, you know, when they counter-charged, we'll call it. What happens is the American soldiers are sitting out there by, you know, tents and campfire just doing nothing but freezing, sadly enough.
Trying to stay warm.
And then you're there and the snow's coming down on top of you. And all of a sudden here comes a German tank up over the hill and your seat's shaking like you can feel the tank. And then, boom! I mean, it was just like you were there. And the other thing, too, which I think is a real blunt reminder to the American public, was they had the nuclear bomb go off. And, you know, you saw today now Red China is now going to start putting submarines into the Pacific. They've never done that before, nuclear-armed submarines. This shows what weakness does to the American people and the jeopardy we're in. But getting to the subject, my roommate with the Bills, which, you know, Chris, we've talked about this before, his name was Bob Kalsu. He was the only, and he was a rookie with me, so we came in not knowing each other, obviously became friends. We lived on the Canadian side of the border. They wouldn't let us back some nights because of alcohol, but, we actually did. We, you know, in Buffalo, you could cross the bridge into Canada, but what happened
Now, real quick, Bob Kalsu was a rookie while you were a rookie.
He was a rookie when I was a rookie.
You both were drafted.
And we were both drafted. He was an eighth-round draft choice. He was the captain of the University of Oklahoma.
What round were you?
I was a fifth-round draft choice because I could drink a fifth, so that gave me a little jump on Bob, you know? But what actually happened, I mean, sadly enough, Bob was an ROTC fellow, you know, back then.
And he was where? From where?
And from the University of Oklahoma. And so he was from Oklahoma also. And but what happens at the end of our rookie year, the war is really heated. And the Marines were even drafting. Well, he gets called in because he's ROTC.
This would have been about 1967?
That's 69.
69.
Yeah, so 69 because he played the 68 season. He was a starter for the Bills, which is really excellent. And again,
what position?
He was an offensive guard, and he was a guy that was a jovial guy, smart guy, meaning intellectually. And, you know, what happens is 3 months later, he's at a fire base. The fire base is overrun. And, you know, they said he was out front fighting harder than anybody, and, you know, bad things happened.
He was killed.
And fortunately, the Bills have honored him, and they have his name up on the Wall of Fame, you know, where your best players go, and rightfully so. He's right up there on the Wall of Fame. And they had
he only played 1 year, though, for the Bills.
Played 1 year, but for what he did for all of this, you know, he deserves to be up on the Wall of Fame. And but the other thing that I think is a tribute to him and to his wife is both his children grew up, you know, and they both become professionals. They all have graduate degrees. One's a lawyer, and, you know, they're on their way. But with Americans like that, you know, that's what you like to see. And that's a great story, even though it has a sad beginning. And then you look at the garbage we see hanging outside of, you know, the Trump Arena last night. You got all these anarchists. You got all these people paid by the Clinton people. I mean, it turns your stomach when you truly know true heroes. And that's why, Chris, you, me, Rick, why are we in this? Because, you know, we want America to understand this is a fight. This is a big fight we're in. If we don't win this election, you know, with the Supreme Court swinging the other way, I think it's bye-bye to most of our freedoms. So we will see. But it is a tribute to Bob Kalsu, the only guy killed in the entire NFL. And you will see
In Vietnam.
In Vietnam. And you'll see on, you know, that 30-30, they've done a big story in all the NFL players that have been killed through all the wars. And there is a part on Bob Kalsu, and I'm sure that will be shown, you know, during this weekend, during Memorial Day, without a doubt. But, you know, again, sad story. But great American.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And he must have been a pretty big guy, too.
He was about 6'3", 270. But he was the type of guy you love hanging around. I mean, we go out into the bars and stuff, and all he'd do is laugh the whole time. He wasn't the type of guy that was a nasty guy. He was a very articulate guy, always a good word for somebody. Not like many of them.
Right.
And, you know, but good guy. But, you know, thank God the children all turned out terrific. So it's a good ending.
All right. Bob Kalsu. All right.
Yep.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into why it's hump day and the rest of today's news. And, of course, if you want to get in on our contest, let's get some entries in. What is, in your mind, proper tranny bathroom etiquette?
407-774-8255. Tacos. No need to ask why. Just open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
I think somebody put the 33 on a 45 or something.
That was
there.
Real good.
Actually, that's compliments of Nostradamus.
That's
intention
cute.
Was to use that as our intro music for our taco eating contest.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my fault. I didn't have the CD ready, but we'll use it the next time.
Well, I appreciate that anyway. Very good. Good choice.
We're working on another contest, so we'll have another opportunity.
I'll tell you though, Chris, we got to get those eaters out because the last time the table was full. You know, we had, 11 or 12, and
yeah,
I don't think we could take any more. But we'll be looking for new volunteers if they want to first to the table.
Yeah, I ran into our spaghetti eating champion.
I know, what happened?
At Cafe Positano. He couldn't make it that night. He wanted to be there, but he couldn't make it that
night.
That's
why I say I was shocked he didn't appear because he could really knock him out.
He felt like he was going to win it. He thought he could do better than 12 and a half. I don't know.
I don't know. That was a lot.
You know, those tacos were packed.
We prepared 150 that night.
Really?
Just
for the contest. We were locked and ready.
Well, my son said
it was
great.
Went through about 90 of them.
Because he said what he
didn't. And they took the rest home.
He said what he didn't eat, he could take home with him. And he said that was a delightful meal the next breakfast.
I bet.
He said, but Rick wiped them out with the peppers. He said that was, they were slowly coming to you as you progressed down the line. But I guess that was the idea.
It was a little better than cold tacos for breakfast.
With hot peppers, yeah.
Maybe cold pizza. All right. Well, we don't have our first contest entry tonight. Don't tell me we've stumped you folks. Now, come on. What is your idea of the proper tranny bathroom etiquette?
All right. In other words, you're a woman. You're in there with your daughter. One of these people who haven't had their plumbing altered comes in and they say, I have a feeling I'm a transgender, and they have like a crooked wig or something on, you know obviously what it is. Yeah. You go, hey, dude, nice hair. Hit the tree outside, buddy. What's your response? Because, boy, there's been massive response to the nation, to our government. Yeah. So let's give them your response.
And my response is, use it and lose it. All right?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. You know, if they're carrying a penknife or something, use it and lose it.
Pull out a big old pair of...
stiletto.
a big old pair of, tailor's shears whatever, right? You know, that they cut the fabric with it.
Oh, jeez. Maybe they'll keep them on the walls.
In case of emergency, right?
Yeah. Use it.
Use it and lose it. All right.
That's pretty sick, Chris.
407. I'm good at that. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's put Nick Lo Cicero to work in there. Hump Day. It is Hump Day today, and do you guys know why?
No.
Oh, come on.
It is that sounds like a choir. No.
At least according to the AP,
right?
Trump is over the hump. He's got,
That's right.
According to them, he now has 1,238 delegates, one more than he needs, the 1,237 to be the official nominee on a first ballot. He's still not an official nominee until they actually have a ballot the papers are signed and all that stuff at the convention. But according to the AP, and I've been saying this over and over again, if you look at five different media sources as to how many delegates each candidate has, you'll have five different totals. They're all within about 10 or 15. But
well, that explains why Karl Rove was defending him today. I thought maybe it was just the end of the world.
It is for a lot of people.
It's closing in for a lot of people, yes.
And, of course, there's still about 300 up for grabs, including about 170, I think it is, in California alone.
Right.
So he is going to have well over the number that he needs. But officially, the AP made the call today, according to them, because a small handful of unbound delegates who have been chosen but were unbound have decided to support Donald Trump. They say now he has the 1,238. Once again, one more than he needs to lock up the nomination.
I also think, like you said, Chris, even today's speech, you know, on energy. I mean, the guy was pretty darn impressive. And, I mean, I like it when he's maybe not quite presidential because he, again, addressed Hillary as what she is, you know, crooked Hillary, and he referenced a few others. But, you know, his basic policies were simple to understand, and I can't wait till the critics go, well, that wasn't as clear as I thought it should be. He didn't go in depth. How many wells actually are there? What are the... Get out of here. He made it very simple. The public got the message very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see that. And, you know, we're all Trumplicans. And remember, Chris, you and myself were probably the first on the train back 9 months ago, right?
Well, we saw something. Like you said, we knew talent when we saw
it. That's exactly right.
And more important, we knew the lack of talent also.
That was more it, I think,
when we saw that, you know,
seeing talent.
I used to every now and then, a buddy of mine used to like play these penny poker games, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I never liked doing that because people can get, you know, mad over a few dollars, right?
Well, you cheated all the time.
Here's what I did when I played poker. Most people, when they play poker, they're always looking for the winning hand and the cards they're dealt. I looked for losing hands, right? So because to me,
I'm not holding the losing hand.
No. So what I was doing is I was just, you know, bowing out of game after game, and the other guys would get mad because I would, you know, every now and then I'd bluff just to keep them, you know, on their toes. But usually I'd play the good hand, so I was winning more than I was losing, and they didn't like that, right? So I didn't. But the point is, in politics, it's just as important to see the guy who has it as it is to see the guy who doesn't have it, right?
That is true.
The media will hype, you know, people up and stuff because that's what they want them to do. And unfortunately, and I didn't see it early on, but it became more and more obvious as things went on. As far as Ted Cruz went, he's got the right message, but he ain't got it. You know, he does not have the delivery mechanism yet.
Well, now, maybe remember, he is 44 that. Years old or whatever.
Yeah,
and
maybe
it's
he can develop that.
But you know, he'll get more savvy
he
as he gets
has
older.
Got to work on I that hope. Delivery.
Yeah,
all right? Because, you know, when you saw him up against a professional, so to speak, communicator,
right.
He looked pretty pitiful.
Yep.
All right, we got some contest entries, and it's a hard break. Let's take the first one. James, you are up, sir. How you doing
first
tonight?
First man in the pool.
Hey,
we're
Chris,
in the bathroom.
Doing fine. My phone's a little on the blitz, so if I don't come through good, I apologize.
You're a little staticky, but go ahead.
Yeah. Since, you know, we've been saying that we want the trainees to go into the male's bathroom, I don't think we should be too cruel to them going into the men's bathroom.
All right.
So like Mike said the other night, you say something like, nice wig. And so you want to say something that can be taken to be two ways, empathetic or critical. So you might want to say something like, do you ever feel silly wearing that out in public?
Oh, that's so heartfelt.
And, you know, if they complain about it, they can't say you're complaining against them because you're being sympathetic and empathetic.
Well, in fact, you're trying to be helpful.
Right.
That's right.
Right. I like
you know,
that.
You're trying to connect with them. You're trying to feel.
I don't know if I'd use that.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
And away we go. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you for being with us. Once again, I am Christopher Hard in the studio with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and Rick Brown, former recovering politician.
Recovering politician. Thank you very much.
It's
Rick, we'd like to see you
just
run
remember,
again.
Day by
you know?
Day, minute by minute, right? One day at a time. Serenity.
It's a 12-step program.
What's the serenity prayer? Give me the, you know the one.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, don't forget, folks, as we told you last night, got a big celebration coming up on June the 5th to celebrate Marilyn Monroe's, what would have been her 90th birthday. But more importantly, to open the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa in style. It's actually the premier grand opening. They've been open for a while, and all the reviews that we get are really just tremendous. They really do treat you like you are a VIP. Everybody is a VIP at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. Lisa Christman is the owner-operator. She was in with us last night, and she has invited all of us, including you all and us, that's all of us, to the premier grand opening on Sunday, June the 5th from 3 to 7 p.m., and it's free, and you'll get a little taste of all of everything that they do over
right.
there, a little massage action, a little pedicure action, a little hair action, right? And lots of food and beverages. And Marilyn herself yep. is going to be there.
Plus, she is the lady that takes care of the Predator cheerleaders.
Yes.
Gets them in top form right before the game.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm lobbying hard to get on as a washer, you know, hair, you know, shampoo.
Oh, I was thinking of you as maybe a male cheerleader.
No.
I don't think so.
I can identify for a while to get in that.
Boy, that could
room.
Go south in a hurry.
Oh, one year I happened to be at the arena for a halftime special, and they kept us down in the bowels of the stadium
right.
waiting
right.
to go out, right?
Right.
And it happened to be just outside. This was at a basketball game. It was between, right. I think, the Magic and the Pistons. So mm-hmm. we were waiting outside the Pistons locker room. And lo and behold, right across the hallway was the Magic dancers'
right.
locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And here they all come out into the hallway to stretch before the game.
Did you help them?
Well, let's just say it took a hydraulic jack to get my jaw up off the floor.
Nice.
All right, let's go back to the phone line.
I don't know if these are family stories, Chris.
All right, yeah. Marilyn Monroe Spa. That is Sunday, June the 5th from 3 to 7 p.m. And they have a special offer just for our listeners. Okay, so all you have to do to take advantage of this special offer is text MM Radio to 71441. All right, that's just for you folks. That's MM Radio 71441. Just text MM Radio to 71441 and see what you can get. All right, in the meantime, let's get back to the phone lines. We still have James on with us.
You know, he has James, to finish his
I want to make sure I got it. You said yours is, do you ever feel silly wearing that in public? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that would be if they walk into a men's room.
All right, you're just trying to be helpful. That's the whole idea here.
If they walked into a ladies' room, I tried to channel what my mother would say. She was a down-home girl, and she's been dead many, many years. But thinking back to her type, she would have probably said something like, take it out, and I'll cut it off. You know, just simple.
Chris, that's sort of like...
Take it out, I'll cut it off.
Use it and lose it. There you go.
All right.
These guys are very candid. You know, there's no hiding it.
All right, thank you, James. We appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Good, James.
All right, we appreciate you being out there. All right, Al is up next. Al, thank you for waiting and holding. We appreciate it.
Yo, Chris.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How much you want to bet that that offer Donald Trump made last night or whenever it was that he's willing to debate Bernie Sanders?
Yes.
Ain't going to happen.
Well, they both have agreed to it.
Yeah.
According to what the news was, according to what the news was saying this morning, is they both have agreed to it. I'm going to disagree with you this time. I can see that if one of the networks wants to cover it, and they may not because they don't want to. This would hurt Hillary, I believe, even more. Oh. But what Trump is trying to do, I believe, Al, is set himself up to be there to welcome people like you after Hillary gets finished. You know. Taking the nomination away from Bernie. And so he's basically offering, if you will, assistance to Bernie with the ulterior motive of luring his voters over to him. So that's why I think there's a good possibility that they would do it.
Well, that'll depend on how cordial he treats Bernie, because if he slams Bernie with a bunch of ridiculousness, then none of the supporters are going to support him.
No, I think...
And
I think they would have their differences, and of course, Trump's going to be Trump. But I think what you would end up finding is that he would be looking for ways to sort of take Bernie's argument more or less away from him. By agreeing with him, like on trade and things like that, and saying, you know, Bernie's right about this, but I'm the one who can solve it. Bernie can't, I can. I think that would be the approach that he would take, is that he would take Bernie's arguments and say, Bernie, you know, you're right about that. You're right when you say this. You're right when you say that. But here's what I would do. Here's why I can solve it and you can't.
But Chris,
I think that's the way he would take it.
Added rhetorical questions going, Bernie, why didn't you ask her further about the emails? You know, in other words, just keep rubbing her. And that's not upsetting Bernie. Just say, Bernie, I'm just curious why you didn't touch on that. Why didn't you talk about Vince Foster? Why, you know, just bring up everything. That's what I think he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Because, he would just mow her down.
It would be one of the most interesting debates I think we would ever see.
Yep. I think it'd be great.
Because Trump would be there not so much to put Bernie down,
right. He doesn't
but
have
to more or less take Bernie's arguments as to his own.
Right.
So anyway, Al, we'll see what happens. It's a good chance that it's just, you know, put out there and nothing will happen. But if a network steps up and says, okay, we'll do it, it'd be kind of hard to back out now.
Al has a contest entry.
I think it's kind of risky, but, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right. I got an entry.
Okay.
And it's a lady's bathroom.
Right.
And a gentleman walks in with a wig.
Okay.
And the lady says, are you a Republican? Because the boys' bathroom is next door. That's a homage to Dennis Hastert.
That was pretty good, Al. He's getting better and better. That was a good one.
I do. Yeah, I like Al. That.
Outstanding.
Very good, Al. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right.
I like it. Are you?
Boy, his mind's in the gutter. Oh, man,
are you a Republican?
Strong.
The men's room is next door. And there's Dennis Hastert.
Pretty strong.
Next door. And yes, I don't know if you folks heard that news, but yes, both the Sanders and Trump campaigns have announced today that they have agreed to debate one another. And of course, Bernie Sanders has been frustrated all along with the Democrat debate schedule. He's trying to get Hillary to debate him before the California primary, which is now just a week from Monday. I mean, this thing is almost all in about 10 days is over, period, except for the conventions. But the primary season will be over.
So great for Trump to get Bernie in there and then just break and, not, and be nice to him and but just ask about Hillary. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And he can just give the answer. But you're just killing Hillary right on the stage.
Yeah, it would be. It would be
and
very.
And that doesn't upset. And he'll convince the Bernie people not to vote for Hillary by constantly bringing up one issue after another. Which, you know, Bernie didn't know anything. You know, he'll just go, yeah, I should have probably. I don't know, because he didn't know anything.
Right. We'll see. We shall see what happens with that. But, of course, Bernie has been upset because of the debate schedule or lack of it. And Hillary has supposedly agreed to debate him again. Well, if you don't do it before California, there's no point
there's
in doing
no point.
It.
Right.
Exactly. And she's hemming and hawing around, which is why Trump stepped up.
Oh, I think it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great move.
You are going to see all kinds of unorthodox, if you haven't figured that out yet, right? This is going to continue throughout this general election campaign now. And after today, it pretty much is now a general election campaign. Trump is, you know, if there were any doubts, you know, any lingering doubts amongst the Hugh Hewitts or I mean, at least Michael Medved, he doesn't like it, but at least he recognizes that Trump is going to be the nominee. But there are those out there who are still somehow holding on to these, you know, nefarious ideas that
third party.
Yeah, the only one that's through the looking glass still that I keep hearing is Glenn Beck.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's happened to him, but the Libertarians are in town. They're here for their convention, and they're going to pick their candidates. It's not official yet. Everybody thinks it's going to be Gary Johnson, but you want to talk about somebody who doesn't have the it factor?
Mm-hmm.
That guy, there is more personality in a chalkboard than there is in that guy. I mean, he has got no charisma. Period. How he ever got elected to be a governor of the state, he just must have had weak competition is all I can figure. But he is here in town for the convention, as is John McAfee and a couple of others who are looking for the nomination. And, you know, the Libertarians are Libertarians, and they've got some good ideas. But it's interesting to hear the guys like you're talking about, the Beck girls and others, who were a lot of them big Cruz supporters, now looking toward the Libertarians, you know, and I've considered myself a conservatarian. So, if you want to do that, it's fine. Right. But let's understand now, if you're going to go from Cruz to Libertarian, you're going from pro-life to pro-choice, right?
Right. That's true.
Right?
Right. I agree.
You're going from prohibition to non-prohibition. Those are some pretty big steps.
Those are huge steps.
Yeah. And all, you know, I understand the principle argument and all of that, but all I can say is Supreme Court justices will make all those principles not worth a hill of beans.
Well, in Beck's case, he sacrificed his principles because his feelings got hurt that Trump snubbed him. That's what all this is about. Because you're right, he's changing his position by supporting a Libertarian third-party candidate. From being pro-life to whatever you need, you know, from not supporting the marijuana laws to supporting the marijuana laws.
Yeah, I can't see that they're making this argument that we can't vote for Trump because we're too principled, and then looking for alternatives.
Which compromise their principles and morals.
Exactly.
Right? Or maybe they don't. Maybe the first side was an act.
maybe. Now, a lot of people have heard me on this show say I'm against prohibition, and I am, because I think it's a path to big government. You get huge criminal syndicates that sprout up from these things. But, you know, that this country right now ain't there yet. And maybe one day we will, but... that's a long way from the positions that Ted Cruz was taking.
You bet.
right? So, you know, hats off to the libertarians. Hope you have a great convention down there. But your time ain't here yet. And it's a long, long way off, I'm afraid. Yeah, and by the way, just got this from Jerry. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. And by the way, he is sponsoring the $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, which is part of tonight's prize package. Thank you, Jerry. They are also isolationists. They're very big in isolationism.
Yeah, I mean, that alone would eliminate them from 99%. What are we going to do when there's Chinese subs off the coast and North Korean missiles being fired? Hey, I don't want you guys to do that. Doesn't work that way, my friend.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wrong century.
And a lot of them think that we spend way too much money on our military. And of course, we're spending way too little.
Yeah, hardly anything anymore.
Yeah, and not spending what we do spend effectively.
Dumpster diving for parts.
That's exactly
right,
what we're doing.
For the F-18.
That's exactly what we're doing.
You see the other
day
those two Hornet planes crashed training off in North Carolina. But, I mean, you know how much money that is?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, and you have to wonder if perhaps, you know, if because with the lack of funding, there is not only the lack of repair parts, there's the lack of training hours, right?
Mechanics.
If the pilots aren't putting flight hours in.
That could have been the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. So
very costly in the end.
Very, very costly. Okay. All right. So we got two contest entries tonight. Excellent ones at that, I must say.
Chris, we got one other thing, too. We have sort of a de facto entry. That was the ex-Delta Force general. That
yes.
we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when we come back, we'll tell you about this.
Yeah, it's a nice little story. He actually entered the contest indirectly.
Yes, General Boykin may have given us an example of how not to do it. Actually, it was a pretty good example of how to do it, unfortunately.
Yeah, he hit it right on the button, boy.
He paid a price for it.
Temporarily. Right. He's back in the saddle again.
All right, we'll tell you all about who we're talking about, what happened on the other side of this short break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You gotta keep them separated.
That's right. That's the whole idea behind men's rooms and ladies' rooms, is to keep them separated. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you for listening to us tonight. We really do appreciate it. All right, we are in the midst of our proper tranny bathroom etiquette contest, and this was at least in part inspired by a story about Lieutenant General Boykin.
Right,
Lieutenant General had spoken here in Orlando a couple of times at the Liberty Council's Awakening events. He's a very powerful speaker and very knowledgeable about terrorism and the security threats here in the United States. And even in bathrooms, I guess.
And he also commanded the U.S. Army's Green Berets. I mean, this is a very special individual.
Not too shabby.
And he was a professor at Hampton-Sydney College, which I've actually been to up in Virginia. Beautiful private school, lots of money. I guess probably 6,000 to 7,000 kids go there. But he made a comment about this bathroom situation. He said that he felt that... He referenced transgender people who were using ladies' bathrooms, and he said that the first man who goes into the restroom with my daughter will not have to worry about surgery. And because he made that statement...
Sort of the same idea, theme we got going here, right?
and the LGBTs were so upset because they couldn't hide in their safe zone. What happened was they protest, and then the school fired them. But... come to the rescue of the gentleman was about 6,000 well-educated students that said, this guy is great. He represents what America is, and they hired him back. So, again, what would your answer be if you're a woman and you're in the restroom with your daughter and one of the Obama friends come walking in?
All right, that's the idea. And once again, you're playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. Once again, summertime is here. A lot of you folks will be going out on the road with your cars. If you got a Mercedes-Benz,
You intend to go out on the road, take it by there. Let them give you a quick and efficient safety and hazard check. Who knows? They may save you a lot of money and aggravation. All right, and then you'll also get a copy of Stephen Gushov's The Bible and Immigration, and some cool bumper stickers we'll throw in there, too. So it's a nice little prize.
Do we still
package.
Have the Liar Liar Pantsuit on Fire bumper stickers?
I got about a dozen more. We got about a dozen more.
Do we have any straight Trump stickers? Because they got to be hot right now.
You know, I don't, but we'll have to see if we can find
some Trump stickers.
Yeah, and then we're in the... Okay, so, well, it looks like Aubrey, our man Aubrey, mm-hmm. is on the line. Aubrey, how do you be?
Well, good evening, everybody.
Hey, how you doing? You got a go ahead.
We're doing great. I was just thinking of your contest.
Yeah.
Now, I would be walking in there with some bolt cutters. And I'd say, I feel like I'm Lorena Bobbitt, but I want to keep it at arm's length.
I forgot about Bobbitt. Is that funny?
Yeah, I like that.
That's a horrible thought, Aubrey.
That gives me cold chills.
Yeah. But it is appropriate.
Yeah, well,
if they want to become women, let's help them along.
So, Aubrey, if you're in the men's room and you're with a male child and... How about the other side comes in because they feel that way? Now, what's your response?
I sent a cartoon of that to Chris the other day, and there was a woman sitting on a urinal.
Oh. the time the nation wastes on this issue.
One of it says that Obama said I can be here.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you, Aubrey. We appreciate it.
Have a good night, everybody.
Sharpen up those bolt cutters, though.
That's a name I forgot, though. Lorraine Bobbitt. That's a horrifying name.
It's so appropriate, too. I mean,
it should be like Lorraine meets Bill Clinton in the alley or something like that.
Isn't that an onomatopoeia, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Bobbitt.
Oh, gosh. All right. That's what we're looking for, though. Proper tranny bathroom etiquette. Who knows? The next public restroom you walk into, you may wish you were ready. With that,
no, they're going to need a response, like it or not, if this goes through. Now, many states are filing suit against our government.
11 teamed up yesterday, headed by Texas, filed in a federal court in Texas. And don't be surprised if fairly soon there is a stay coming out of one of those federal courts to this directive.
Oh, without a doubt. I couldn't even fathom that this guy could put this on the American public.
It's sort of like the genie's already out of the bottle, though. I mean, it didn't take the Orange County School Board but about 5 seconds to say, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Where are the parents, though, Chris? I mean, you know, if I was a parent, I'd go, are you nuts? I mean, you know, you are what you're born with, and until you show me your plumbing, buddy.
Well,
you know?
Parents are trying to speak out.
I mean, enough is enough. We've had it with this. They're a teeny, teeny small minority. I mean, less than probably 1% of
1%.
So what is the world adjusting their whole lives, the financial situations of all these restaurants and buildings? What are we, just crazy?
Yes.
Well,
that's right.
And the point is,
we have a crazy man running the country.
Yeah,
what you have.
The point is, we're not sitting here saying that if some fella doesn't want to dress up like a woman and think he's a woman, that's
he can do that.
That's his business.
Just,
the whole point is, don't make us participate in that.
We don't want to be involved.
In the illusion. Right.
Yeah, and I don't want my children involved.
That's right. And if this is not new, if this phenomena has been going on for some time, well, then it seems to me like we were doing just fine before, right?
Yeah.
Why do we need to change the rules
issue,
now?
Right?
What's different? What has changed?
Because he's leaving office, and this is his, he wants to insult
push the liberal agenda as far as you can.
Exactly. All right. Well, we've already pushed through this hour.
This is going to be some easy prizes for a couple of these guys.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So, start thinking.
Yeah, got some competition, but we need some more contest entries. 407-774-8255 is the number, and we will be right back.
Roll on a honey.
You know that yeah scream that Steven Tyler does in our intro music?
American Idol.
Well, there were a lot of screams similar to that coming out of buildings in Washington, D.C. and New York and Los Angeles today because Donald Trump got over the hump. He's now got enough delegates, according to the AP, to lock in the Republican nomination for president.
You know, Chris, at his 4:30 speech on that energy, he actually did make the statement, there's going to be a lot of people leaving Washington when I get there. Oh, can you imagine the people working up there going, you know, they've been taking money and wondering, am I going to be prosecuted? Am I going to be...
Listen,
I can understand no one wants you around.
If you're still on the fence, you're still having trouble about voting for Donald Trump, just think of this. Think of all the people who have promised to leave the United States if he
that
is elected
alone.
President.
What a plus.
I'm telling you what.
That fat slob, Rosie O'Donnell.
You got, what was it, Whoopi?
Whoopi,
and
Rosie.
Raven? Is it Raven?
Raven. Oh, I love that one. The one with the hairdo.
The Craven Raven.
Yeah,
she's out of here, too, right? I mean, how many of these folks have promised that they're going to leave the United States if he gets... And I think Raven actually said she'd leave if he got nominated.
Yeah,
now, maybe
she
didn't know what she was saying.
Which I would guess that's probably it. I mean, that would fit with her
Which probably
well.
Goes without saying, right?
I agree with you 100%.
But nonetheless...
Raven. Oh, my God.
Donald Trump, according to the AP, and even if he doesn't, he will...
I think McDonough is also going to beat feet if he gets...
That's right.
I think she's going, too.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
We're going to lose many of our musicians.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's
all
right.
Amen. Amen.
Later. Yeah, have a good trip.
We'll watch him on TV from over yonder, right? Across the pond. Yeah. And all right, I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. My co-hosts today are the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. Pink he is wearing today.
We also talked about that, Chris. Only real men wear pink. You're trying to infer something else. I know the tricks you play.
Well, it's
the man
after
salmon.
All. Yeah, it is after all.
I know your games, Chris. You know.
It is, after all, our proper tranny bathroom etiquette contest. I didn't know if you wore that. Anyway. We also have with us today Rick Brown, who sponsored our taco eating contest, and we're already working on another contest coming up for late in July. So we'll be telling you more about that as the weeks come and go by. In the meantime, we are running our tranny contest, as I said, proper tranny bathroom etiquette contest. And we'll get back to the contest entries here in just a moment, but as they're lining up. But real quick, I want to mention again, this is Memorial Day weekend, of course, for a lot of you. It actually starts tomorrow. Most of us will work tomorrow, but we'll have the weekend off, and then, of course, Monday off. We will not be here Monday. We're going to take the show off on Monday. But we will be here on Sunday night doing our show, and we've got a little special Memorial Day commemoration show lined up for you. So please tune in Sunday night live at 5, of course. But then, of course, we will be back Tuesday. But, Mike, you just got back from the World War II Museum in New Orleans, and it's quite the place. And it's I believe it's run off donations, isn't it?
Right, it is. They have actually the largest membership of any museum in the United States. And, you know, it was started there in the year 2000. And I think it was called, I think the guy, his name was Higgins or Higby or something, developed that landing craft. That, you know, our men, when they'd come up on the beach where the front of it would go down.
Right.
That was actually created by him out of the bayou. And the guy had it manufactured there. And I think he had like, over 25, 30,000 people working during the wartime. And but the museum is truly an art piece of war in the sense that you see every aspect of both the German side, the American side, the Japanese side. You see the I thought the most interesting thing was the movie itself, which was in 4D, where you were actually part of it in the war.
Yeah.
And it was narrated by Tom Hanks. But, I mean, it really showed people how horrible war is. And I just am afraid that many young people in the United States and, you know, just don't get how cruel and bad people really are. And when you see this, you know, you're going to walk out of there and you're going to be very appreciative of our armed services and what they've done for us all. And it makes you be a proud American until you turn on TV and then you see all these total losers standing outside. You know, they think they're using their rights to picket somebody like Don Trump. They don't even know why they're out there. They're either paid by the Clinton group, they're paid by SEIU, the union.
Right.
I mean, this thing, or they're just absolute radicals. And when you see them, they had to be, their punishment should be go to the war museum and see what these great Americans did for you and gave you the opportunity to even do what you do. Because, oh, it's breathtaking. And I was there 3.5 hours, and I could have been there 8 hours. And I know some people said, that's why, because you're a slow reader. I said, no. I know, but it was
it's like three huge buildings.
Yeah, it's four huge buildings. Four, you start off in one. They put you on a train, and like you're going to the training camp in 1939, one of those old trains and everything, and they narrate it a little bit. Then you get off the train, you begin the tour, and you go at your pace, and then they have little cameo films, and they have buttons you push, and you'll hear people who are actually there, what their story was. You see every weapon there was, every type of Jeep, everything. I mean, it was just breathtaking. And, boy, what a tribute to these men, you know, of World War II, who are probably our greatest heroes. But I didn't realize that there were 62, get ready, million people killed in World War II. I mean, does the public even realize what went on? 62 million. Do you understand what happens when your military gets weaker and weaker and weaker? And people kill you just because they don't like you. It doesn't have to be an ideology. They'll just kill you because they don't like you.
Yeah.
You know, they ought to go see that because it'll wake a lot of our liberals up, and the rest of them, who knows, you know, if we can wake them up.
Yep. Yep, indeed.
Well, we got a lineup here.
We got a contest, and we got a full bank of entries, so let's get right to them. Al is up first in this hour. Al, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Yes, go ahead, sir.
How you guys doing today?
All
excellent.
Right, Al. All
right. How you be tonight?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead,
Al. Go ahead.
Yo, go ahead.
Yeah, I just stepped away from the phone. I was thinking about the being with my wife, daughter, and I see them going to the bathroom, the ladies' room.
Right.
Then I see one of those weirdos walk in after they do, and then I go over to the bathroom, knock a couple times, peek my head in and say, "Honey, remember how to turn the safety off."
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow. That was a good one.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh. Remember how to turn the safety off.
Oh, my.
Remember how to turn the safety off. That'll put some thoughts in people's minds.
He's running strong with that one.
I'm a concealed carry person, so I'm...
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Good for you, my friend.
Al, that was pretty good.
I like that.
That was as original as it gets.
Yeah, we got some good ones. Al, you are in. Man. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Imagine that. Hey, honey, is the safety off? Oh, jeez.
Remember how to turn the safety off.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, jeez.
It's like proactive, right?
Yeah.
All right, John is up next. Thank you, John. We appreciate you. Is John with us still?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, John. This is going to be a good one.
How are you doing?
Would be a guy going into the confused guy going into the girls' room.
Right.
If my niece or my granddaughter is there, I just tell the guy, obviously, you're confused of your unit. Mess with my kids and you're leaving a eunuch. Carrying a new badge.
You're confused of your unit. Confused your unit.
You'll be leaving as
awesome. You're leaving a eunuch.
Mess with my kids, and you're leaving as a eunuch.
Boy, that was John.
The other way, if a female really wanted to come into the men's room, well, I guess I just have to urinate all over the seats.
Oh, John.
What, you're not supposed to do that?
Yeah, you're not supposed to leave the seat down, John.
What, you're not supposed to do that already?
You have bad personal habits, John.
I love that. Except I don't know how to spell eunuch.
It sounds like John does. I don't know.
Thank you, John. You're in the contest. I'll abbreviate.
All right, guys.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Two really good ones, back to back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Ooh. Yeah. Instead of spelling it all out, I'll just cut it short.
There you go.
Let's go to Paul.
Save me from looking it up. You just cut it short. Now. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
When I came,
I just got it.
Every now and then. All right, Paul is up next. Paul, you're up next. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. How you guys doing?
All excellent. Right, how about you tonight, sir?
Well, I'm hanging in there, so it's all right.
Good.
Do you have
good.
To go to the bathroom?
Yeah, I just got out, man. I just got out.
Okay. All right. All right, what's your idea of bathroom etiquette?
I want to enter a contest, but this is, like you said, it's all about etiquette.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
People are this way, that way, but you always got to be nice, and you always got to be respectful of people.
Certainly.
So. Yep.
There's a man with his son in the men's bathroom, and everything's all done. He's getting ready to leave, and he notices out from under one of the stalls, this thing comes rolling out. So he just assumes that the person in there probably just dropped it. So he bends down, picks it up, and all of a sudden the door to the stall opens up, and it's a woman with a mustache and a wig and all like this, and he's totally stunned. But all he...
Well, that's different.
Guy. All right, Paul, you're in the contest. Appreciate you being out there. Thank you so much.
Man, I didn't think we were going there. But
I don't know how to spell that either, so I'll just cut that with your two. All right, let's go to Mike is up next. Mike, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Anyway, I have to disagree with you about Mr. Trump just a little bit because you know that all good red-blooded American alpha males like Chris and Mike and Mr. Trump and myself never really get over the hump.
Oh, my goodness.
So the etiquette side of this is something that everybody can use in every single bathroom, regardless of what you think you are or don't think you are. It's just being very polite, and you just say, "Can I hold that for you?"
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
You know, I mean,
that's very good. All right, Mike. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thank you. We appreciate it. All right, we got to take a break. We come back. Sarah is up next.
I can't wait to hear Sarah. She is the first woman entry today.
For today, yeah. Truth? All right. Yeah. So 407-774-8255. We're doing our proper tranny bathroom etiquette contest. And please, no potty mouth. Let's keep it clean, right? All right, let's take a short break and we will be right back. Thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And since the Tampa Bay Rays played earlier today, we don't have to worry about them playing tonight. So we'll be here until 7 o'clock live on the airwaves, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And then don't forget, stay tuned in, for the Larry Elder Show. And I really do like Larry Elder. And I'm seeing him on Fox a lot more.
I've seen him a number of times. And I just like his style. You know what I mean? He's just straightforward and the way he'll respond to people of color. Very strong.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. And he's a great host, and once again, he comes on after us at 7 o'clock in the evenings. And even if the Rays are playing, you can listen to him if you have downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app. Or you can go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, our brand-new website. I can't get enough of it. And just hit that Listen Live button right there on the home page, and you'll be able to hear whatever, 24-7, whatever they're broadcasting over the stream at AM660TheAnswer.com. You'll be able to hear it simply by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, we want to get back to our contest tonight. It is our proper tranny bathroom etiquette contest. We've got some very interesting entries so far.
Yeah, we've had some good ones. Yeah. I commend all these people for it. I thought this would be a little bit tougher, and I think it is. But I like, you know, great response.
That's it.
All right, let's see what Sarah has thought up. Sarah, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi,
excellent.
Sarah.
How about you?
All right.
Good.
You know, I have a question. I'm wondering which one Ellen DeGeneres uses.
I know. Don't you love her outfits? I know.
But that's a good question.
No, that is a question. You know?
Well, what has she been doing up until now?
The bigger question is, would anybody notice?
Well, that's the point, though, isn't it? Isn't that, though, really the point? Is that obviously something was going on before, but nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed. Nobody
so
cared.
Obviously, there wasn't a problem before that needed a solution, right?
Your and president creates the
that's,
problem.
That's an interesting question,
there
though.
That is a great
what
observation.
Does Ellen DeGeneres use?
Well, I figured she's such an advocate for these things that I'm surprised she hasn't put something on the TV.
Yeah, she's not out in front. I agree with you.
She probably got a chamber pot in her dress room there.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. So, as a female, my response to someone coming in would be to ask them if they were a hermaphrodite or not.
I knew, remember? We knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
Because unless they're androgynous cat or something, I would tell them it's only for, in the case of the female bathroom, it's only for women and hermaphrodites, and see if they respond that way.
There you go.
You know, we should have a graphic contest where you have to draw the symbol for the hermaphrodite bathroom.
God, only on radio.
And that's the thing. I think that a lot of the millennials and so forth, their English is bad enough that they wouldn't know how to respond because they probably don't know what it is.
I was going to say.
I bet most of them don't know what it is.
Exactly, yeah. They'd look at you like, oh.
But remember,
I want to be.
But of course, remember the other day in New Orleans, which is the place to see, I walked in this bathroom, there were three signs. The male, it goes men, women, and they had the men and women side by side, and it said Democrats underneath.
Very nice.
That's a good one.
That was a good one. I love that.
All right, Sarah, yours is a good one, and thank you for it. We appreciate you being there and entering the contest. Thank you so much. All right, we got time for another one in this segment, and Frank is up next. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
How's Louie? Everything good?
You know,
how you doing?
I want to make it clear to anybody listening that we're not talking about legitimate, you know, transgenders. They've been around. They're so few, and they've been around. We're talking about that this allows any creep who decides he wants to, you know, who wants to go in the girls' room and rape your daughter, for crying out loud.
Right.
Go in there, and it's legal, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's why we mock this, because this is not right.
Right. And, you know, it's another, and I mean another example of how liberals are so sick that they are willing to sacrifice their own children on the altar of their ideology.
That's about the size of it. I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right.
Liberalism is a mental
other
disorder.
Examples, but anyway, the contest. Okay. So I can imagine one of my girls from the Bronx, right?
Vinny's daughter.
One of these guys walks in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She sticks her hand in her purse. She looks at him. She says, "I did not bring a knife to this fight. And if you make me pull this thing, I promise you, I will use it."
All right.
Frank. Frank. I mean, you got your boys. She ought to just carry a picture of one of your boys. Say, "Hey, you're going to talk to Louie, baby."
I got to have a beer with you guys. I'll tell you stories about my uncle. He was a bookie in one of the families.
Okay, we want to hear it. We'll get with you in the next week or two. We'll you can come up and join us at Positano.
Frank, have you been to Niagara Falls, buddy?
All right, thank you, Frank. You're in the contest. I like that one, too. I did not bring a knife to this fight.
Hey, you know, I'm 55, but I feel like I can identify with a 72-year-old, so I'm going to apply for my full Social Security benefits.
Hey, now there's an idea. And if you're turned down, you can sue the Social Security Administration.
That's a good idea.
That's right.
You know,
and my son always used to try when he was 16 because he felt like he was 21 and should be allowed to drink.
Well, I think we all did that when we were 18 and 19. Yeah. Hey, look, I feel like I'm 21.
It should work up and down the channel, right?
Yeah, but I think Mike had a good idea, too. You're going to start identifying as... Well, black person.
I'm going to be transracial.
Transracial.
I mean, if we got trans, we might as well trans everything. So what I was going to do is maybe, you know, have my son apply to college and just say, "Look, I'm transracial, so I want to come under the affirmative action program, and I'd like to be admitted at a certain level." And so we can play this game any way they want to play it. Transracial,
well,
transgender, trans whatever.
There's precedent with the head of the NAACP on the West Coast, right?
That's right.
She had a white woman running the NAACP.
That's right. She remember that? Right. Yeah.
She identified as black.
I think this trans thing is going to blow itself through the roof.
The black white woman or the white black woman, I forget which one. So one or the other. All right. We got to take a break, and we got time for a few more.
Girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversary. These guys are sexy and smart.
And we know which restroom to use.
Thank God. But I mean, think about that, Chris. What I was just talking about is, you know, when you have 1% of 1%, and they walk in and they make the other 99.9% feel uncomfortable, whose feelings are we worried about? The 99.9% or the 1%? Because the other side is just as uncomfortable, if not more uncomfortable. So does this at all make any rational sense to anybody under any trend of thought?
It does not.
I mean, we've all lost our way, and the reality is that's why I'm glad to see all these states are reacting. I expect over the weekend, you know, there's going to be a lot more reaction on this issue because I'm sure, you know, this is something that's going to continue on until they say, hey, just stop. You know, men go to men, women go to women, and if you think you're one, then go hit the trees outside.
All right. That is what our contest is about tonight. It's the proper tranny bathroom etiquette contest. And if you would like to get in on it, you still have a little time. We'll take entries as late as we can in the show, but we will determine a winner tonight. That winner will get a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, compliments of Jerry and Jana Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. And you'll also get the Bible and Immigration book by Steve Gushoff, some bumper stickers, and
this is the complete package.
Yeah. You're going to get the whole nine yards. So 407-774-8255 is the number. That is Michael McBath. I am Christopher Hart. And Richard Brown is also with us tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right. Rick, you're a small businessman. A couple of things happening here recently that are affecting directly individuals like yourself. You employ, how many people do you employ?
We're right at about 120.
About 120. Of course, you know, there's all this hoopla going on around the minimum wage laws. And the notion is somehow that $15 is the ideal minimum wage. Now, where they come up with this, I don't know.
I don't know.
But obviously, most small business people can't be dictated to in that fashion. Even though the government's trying to do it. So what businesses do is they try to figure out some way to stay in business with these new rules. Recently, the former CEO of McDonald's pointed out to the world something that we have already known, we've talked about actually on this show, and that is that the higher and higher you go with the minimum wage, the lower and lower you go with employment, right?
Absolutely. And because you have to combat it somehow, right? So automation in the restaurant industry is pretty easy to achieve. If you look at all these restaurants that have online ordering sites,
right?
How easy is it to take that engine and drop it on a kiosk inside your restaurant?
Right.
I mean, it's an easy process.
Which is what is happening and going to happen much more dramatically as these minimum wages are raised around the country. And it's not going to matter if that minimum wage target of $15 isn't achieved here in Orlando. Because corporations are going to be reacting to that $15 minimum wage in Seattle, in New York, in California, and wherever else they decide to make it as such. And they're going to start running all their operations as though that $15 minimum wage is effective no matter where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so people all over the country, whether they live in a state or locale that has that $15 minimum wage or not, are going to suffer the consequences of that. And they will suffer consequences. It is amazing that people who are out protesting for this have so little knowledge of how business and economies work that they think that all they can do is dictate a higher wage and they're going to somehow get it.
I have a very simple comment that I use constantly, and that is it's just math. And if people would just stop and figure out what the math is behind some of these protests and what they're asking for, they would see just how ridiculous their arguments are. You know, was it Wendy's or McDonald's that rolled out 7,000 automated kiosks throughout Europe? They're doing the same thing in the U.S. McDonald's is testing automated robotic French fry machines,
right,
which will actually serve at the counter after they cook the French fries.
Yeah.
Right? Automatic ordering.
Yeah.
I mean, you take your 25 people that you're running your operation with, and suddenly you're down to six. So it's great. You know, and I've always said, if I had to pay $15 an hour, I will, but I'm only going to pay it to about a third of my employees.
Exactly.
The other thing, though, Rick,
you go from low wages to no wages.
Absolutely.
You see all this activity, but it's mostly in the northern cities you see it, in the sense that on TV and everything, because it's all union-generated. You know, these people have to have this idea put into their head.
Yes.
So it's either done by the politicians who are on the Democratic side, not certainly on the Republican side, and these are the same people that are going to be owing to the unions. And you watch how these people react. These sad people, what makes me feel so bad, it's like this Bernie Sanders act, is the Democrats preach short-term satisfaction of these people for long-term disaster.
Right.
In other words, already there may be a few getting somewhere, $15 in Seattle or whatever, but the disaster has already begun to be implemented, and you wipe all these people out, and now they won't even get a job for 8 hours. They're going to be, actually, they're going to be behind the illegal immigrants. So, I mean, what they do to these people is unconscionable, but they'll do it to be elected. And, you know, so it's really the Democrats in love with the unions. And because the unions know at that point they can join if they're getting $15, they got control of the person. And well, that's what is really so unfair.
Not just that, but a lot of union contracts are tied to the minimum wage. And if the minimum wage goes up, their contract automatically goes up.
You know, exactly. These other folks that are supporting it, too, need to be careful. Because instead of moving up the ladder, if I have to pay all my entry-level people $15 an hour, there's no room to get this guy up to $18, $19, and $20 an hour. The money's
really
not there.
Good guy. Yeah.
Just, I mean, the lesson should have been learned, if anybody was watching. What was the name of that company where the guy, the CEO, came out and said, oh, he was going to pay all of his employees?
Yeah, that was back a few months ago, and he went out of... Did he go out of business? I remember he rescinded the whole deal because they got in fights with each other. One guy says, I work twice as hard as you. This isn't right. And he lost a bunch of personnel. It doesn't work.
His best people left.
They left.
And there's another executive order being talked about right now that companies with over 100 employees are going to have to report all of their income and all of their demographics and all of their pays to the federal government, which then becomes subject to the Open Records Act, which means all of your employees are going to know what the guy sitting right next to them make. They call it transparency in pay, or pay transparency.
Right.
And that's being bantered about, and that's going to happen.
Imagine how much unity you'll create on your team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just terrible. Do you know Mary makes this? Well, I'm quitting if I don't get this.
It's totally destructive to business.
But hopefully that's why we're Trumplicans.
Yeah, but it's no surprise because none of these people have ever actually hired anybody in their lives.
They
never actually run the business themselves. Wouldn't know how to do it to save their lives.
And the next one comes in December.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one too. Next, and that's already out. This is National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah, and that's actually going to happen.
They've issued an edict, a directive, whatever you want to call it, which makes it a law, if you will, labor law, that salaried employees are going to be entitled to overtime pay far more than they are now. Right now, up to $23,000 a year.
It goes to 47.
A salaried employee, if they work overtime,
In December, it goes to 47.
It more than doubles.
And it's injurious, especially to the small retail or to the restaurant industry. But, you know, it's like everything else. The people that are going to really have to pay the price is going to be the employees.
Right.
You know, because a lot of the restaurants I'm talking to are going to go to the Taco Bell model, where the only person who's making salary in their restaurants in their management teams is the general manager. All the other managers are hourly. And, you know, it's not hourly that you get paid $40,000 plus you make overtime.
Right.
It's, I want to pay this guy $34,000 a year, so I'm going to figure out what my base salary has to be, and I'm going to guarantee him 10 hours of overtime. And when all those equations are done, he's going to make $32,000 a year.
Right.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So you just have to go. You've got to spend more money now on the administrative side to make sure you can run your business the way that you want to run it.
Think about this, Chris. People that make these rules up are not mature businessmen. They got kids out of college who maybe took, I got a master's in economics. He's never worked a day in his life. No. And they're drawing these theoretical things up to go with the ideology of the party. And all it does is annihilate the American public. And again, when Trump and them get in there, if they actually do the work what we had hoped to see, I expect to see huge changes in that aspect.
Yeah, it's you cannot force businesses to do things that are detrimental to the business. They'll either go out of business or they will figure out a way to stay in business, to comply. But guess who suffers in the long run?
They should have learned their lesson from Obamacare, where now we have a country full of underemployed employees because they're all working 28 hours or less.
Oh, by the way, in the Wall Street Journal today, they showed a little graph chart of the premium increases to come this fall. If you're here in Florida, Blue Cross Blue Shield, 14% minimum increase. If you're in Georgia, it's like 40%.
Chris, as I mentioned, mine went up, honestly, 100% in 2 years. And I know there's many people like me out there. But I hope to God these people are billed before the election. They're supposed to be, but you watch these politicians try to delay the billing till after the vote.
Well, our employees
that concerns me big time.
Our open enrollment was in May, and our employees went between 23% and 61% increases.
Do you explain to them, Rick, what
absolutely
what's going on? I make it so clear to them and why it happened and who's responsible for them. When you see a guy running for office and you see that little D by his name, it's derelict or Democrat, same thing.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Diane is on the line. She's been holding. Thank you, Diane. We appreciate
it.
Howdy.
Hey.
How you doing tonight?
On the libertarian thing.
Yeah. They're held in
talked earlier, and I told you about Austin Peterson.
Peterson, yes.
Yeah. He's a total constitutionalist, and he's pro-life. So everybody needs to stop with the all libertarians are not.
No, that's true. But the libertarian, if there is a quote-unquote policy or party platform, it is. It is. Okay. All right. But yes, you're right. You're right. Adrian Peterson, he's sort of an unusual libertarian. But he's got the most realistic.
He's a rock star.
Yeah. If he can get this nomination, he might actually go somewhere. Because I tell you, Gary Johnson is just.
The other two are losers.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well.
She sounds like Don Trump.
You might as well nominate Mr. Peanut. But I do. I must admit, I do like Peterson. I've been watching them a little bit, and he's actually somebody who could go somewhere.
Yeah, he is.
So we'll see.
That's what I said. Keep your eye on him. He's going to go somewhere.
We'll see what happens. And they're in town. They're in town now tonight and into the weekend. So we'll find out before the weekend's over who's going to be their team.
And everybody's talking about, have you ever driven by a Chick-fil-A?
Well, sure.
They're packed all the time.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, and I've been throughout the states, I travel a lot, you can't get near the joint. And they employ at least 15, 20 people on the outside to take your order, and these people are so organized. It's amazing. You're in and out before you even know it.
Yeah, they got a great organization over there and a great management team. Unfortunately, they're going to have to deal with the same realities that we're talking about here, and it's going to affect their operation.
Well, we'll see, but they got it going on.
Yeah, they do. I understand they do. Unfortunately, they're going to be dealing with rules and regulations that's going to make it much more difficult for them to get it going.
Well, we'll see what your President Trump will do about that.
Well, if he would just back off of these edicts, that would be a big start. And by the way, he said he's going to, his first acts in office would be to roll back regulations to 2008 and start looking back even further from there. That would be a big step in the right.
We can pray and hope that that's the truth, because it totally needs to be done.
Yeah, well, it definitely does.
And I have my my
contest?
Yeah, huh?
Go ahead.
Okay. I carry.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be walking in there, whether it's open carry or not.
Yeah.
I'll be in the bathroom.
Yeah.
With my
dog leg.
Yeah. And Go ahead.
No.
Come near my grandchild, and you will see history.
Come near my grandchild, and you will see history. I'm writing this down.
Well, I'd hate to run into her. You know,
well, my husband says the same thing.
And you will be history. Did you say you will be history, right?
You will be history.
You will be history.
Make my day.
No, it's like from that first Longest Yard movie.
Right.
You will be history.
Right.
Thank you, Diane. I love it.
And I had that experience with my granddaughter this week because we were...
No kidding.
I took her into a BP, and I'm standing outside, and I'm going, yeah, bring it on.
You're waiting.
Make my day, right?
Yeah.
All right, Diane, God bless you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got a couple more calls. We'll get to those. If you have a contest entry, you need to get on the line right now, because we're down to the last segment. Are we already down?
Yeah.
We're already down to the last segment
coming.
Of the show, I tell you what. All right, 407-774-8255. We will be announcing a winner. Knocking on heaven's door.
Oh, I thought it was something you ate, Chris. Oh, my God. You know, I'm like a man. I'm glad I'm... Is this those funny cookies?
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Weren't those guys just in town? I think they were just in town last weekend or something like that. Anyway, all right, we got our... What is it again? Proper Tranny Bathroom Etiquette Contest going on. Boy, that's a mouthful there. Anyway, you had a good one. Your wife just texted you. What was it, Rick?
What would your mother say?
you're gonna use the shame angle, are you?
Just what would your mother say?
I thought of another one just during the break.
I'm sure you did, Chris.
Right. So you're the lady in women's room, and in come. No, I'm sorry. You're a man, and in comes this. Looks like a woman, right?
You
get on your phone and you say, hey, Ma, guess what? Michelle Obama just walked in. I'm terrible, aren't I?
Ouch.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We will have a winner tonight. Bob is up next. Bob, thank you for calling.
Craig.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. How you doing tonight? Bob, go ahead. You're on.
Minimum wage before. And the dirty little secret that a lot of people don't realize is that the reason why the Democrats and the unions get along so well is that the union's wage, a lot of them, especially the bigger ones, is based on the size of the minimum wage.
Right.
They have to have a certain amount higher than the minimum wage.
Correct.
So the Democrat politicians raise the minimum wage up to sky high. That means the union people will get a sky higher wage.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're not doing anything different. They do the same thing, except all of a sudden they got a big raise because the Democrats have raised the minimum wage.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's why they get along so well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's one hand washes the other kind of thing. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And by the way, the United Auto Workers today, which still has about 400 and some odd thousand members, has endorsed the Hillary, crooked Hillary.
But you know what? After Trump's speech today where he said, I'm going to put in every pipeline and I'm going to generate all these jobs, I guarantee if I'm in the constituency, I might tell my boss, yeah, I'm for you. Forget it. I'm going the other way.
He gave an energy speech today in, was it North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Yeah, and by the way, the oil cracked over $50 a barrel today.
About 50. Remember, the low was 26.
Yeah.
As we said, Chris, when it's bad, it's good, and when it's good, it's bad.
We called it again, didn't we?
Right near the bottom.
Listen to us, folks. Not only can you expand your
politics,
mind, you can expand your wallet, too.
Politics, money, women. No, not really.
You can also expand your belly by eating lots of tacos and pizza. Craig, you are up next, my friend. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, hey, you guys.
Howdy.
Can we do, like, Fair Tax Fridays? And the reason why I would like to do that is because from now until hopefully Trump gets elected, just keep it on the local talk shows. And then after his election, before he's inaugurated, we need to push to the national talk shows big time, because this is our one and only shot ever to get the fair tax passed.
Well,
as far as the 16th Amendment goes, You, in order to amend the Constitution, you really need to take the same exact document, the same piece of paper, to the House and the Senate of each state and have an up or down vote. It can't be added to with amendments and all this stuff. It just has to be that one piece of paper. And that thing could be flown to three states a day. And the 16th Amendment could be eliminated in literally a month.
Yeah, you're talking about a convention of the states, and I believe that's already going on. I know there's a balanced budget going on.
Yeah, there's something
and
going on.
They've already got like 34 states signed off on it. But I'm not sure about the fair tax one. I think there is, but we'll take that into consideration. It's an excellent suggestion. But, Craig, I'm running out of time. Did you have a contest entry today for our bathroom etiquette?
No, that's it. I just feel weird when somebody's in the bathroom like that.
Oh, now, why would you now? Come on.
Well, that would be something that you could say, right?
Yeah. I just feel weird when you're here, you know?
All right. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate that. We'll take that into consideration. And this is the best chance that we've seen before, or up until now, I should say, to get major tax reform. And I'm talking about major tax reform, like a fair tax or a dramatic cut in the corporate tax rate, that sort of thing, like we were talking about with Steve Moore yesterday. All right, the time has come. We need to make up our minds. Nick LoCicero, let's start with you. Do you have a favorite entry tonight?
Does Craig count?
Well, if he left his phone number, he can, yeah.
Sure, I'm going with Craig. It's honest, and it's not making fun of anybody, so I like Craig's.
Yeah, all right. Rick Brown, he said, you make me feel nervous or something. What was it again, Nick? Would you paraphrase it?
Yeah, you make me feel weird.
You make me feel weird, that's right. I kind of like that, too. What about you, Rick?
That's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah.
We've had a lot of good entries.
Yeah, we have. I actually like the one with the gun.
Okay. Honey, do you remember how to turn the safety off?
I know he yells into the bathroom.
How to turn the safety off.
All right. What about you, Mike?
I think I'm going to go with Rick on that one.
Gosh, you know, because I kind of like Craig's myself. Oh, boy. We're in a fix here. We're in a fix here. All right. We got a tie. Well, did you get Craig's phone number?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, what are we doing this? Okay,
now, well, you know,
we're just trying to think, but we got to get different reactions. I mean, Craig's is very gentlemanly.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not sure we always should be that way. Because,
all right, it's Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. They both win. All right.
Oh, they both win.
All right.
Be true to your school.
Let's don't make this difficult. Let's make this easy. They were all actually excellent entries, and they all could have won, but Craig and Al, the second Al, and I.
Yeah, you better watch it.
I gotta say, I like that first Al's too.
No, his was good too.
Are you a Republican? The men's room is next door.
Yeah, no.
Denny Hastert's inside.
No, that was pretty good too. You know.
Oh, he really knows how to rub it in.
He does.
Sarah's was good too. They were all good. Anyway, once again, thanks, folks. It was a great show. We appreciate you being out there. Sure makes it a lot of fun for us to do this. We'll be back tomorrow night. Rick, you're going to be off to the Keys.
I'm off for a couple of weeks. Yep, and I'll be back.
Watch yourself in the bathrooms, Rick.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mike, you're always pretty in pink.
I'm going to be around, so
stay away from the rainbow crosswalks.
All right, night, everybody.